Welcome to Texas Law Talk Radio. This is your host, Nick Augustine, and I'm here today with Gary Miles. He's an attorney and success coach for lawyers, entrepreneurs, and professionals. Let's say good afternoon to Gary Miles.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
I'm well. How are you today, sir?
Doing just awesome. Doing awesome.
All right. Well, before we jump into it, let me tell the folks what we're going to be talking about in five short segments in our 30-minute window today. We are going to cover everything in breaking boundaries and knocking through walls, their strategies for lawyers' success. We're going to first talk about effective communication and how that can be improved with clients and colleagues. Two, overcoming imposter syndrome in small and solo law firm practice. Three, competitive marketing and branding activities for boutique firms. In segment four, using technology to keep up with schedules and deadlines. And then finally, in segment five, focusing on personal care and operating at full capacity. Gary, start off, please, by telling the folks who what you're best known for and some of the things that we talked about before our show today.
Sure. Well, I've been practicing law for 45 years. I recently have transitioned after arguing with lawyers, being in an adversarial relationship with lawyers for all that time, realizing how much stress lawyers are under. My focus now is on helping and supporting lawyers. So I have a blog and a podcast and a book, and I coach and mentor lawyers individually to help them be as successful as they can.
And one of the things we talked about and what we'll lead with today is a really important message that people really need to think about, and it's operating at your full capacity and being sober and healthy and holistic care. All of these things, there are a lot of challenges that professionals face, especially attorneys, and there are a lot of times that people suffer in silence. They're afraid to tell anyone, especially because it could get back to the state bar and people are afraid of that. Can you talk about that just shortly before we get into our substantive material today?
Sure. I actually just did a podcast episode myself recently on that very topic. The facts and figures on wellness in our profession are pretty dire. About 25% of lawyers report themselves to be problem drinkers or abusers or addicted. The rate of depression is extremely high. The suicide rates are high. I actually have a guest coming up on my podcast who was a survivor of his own attempt, and now he advocates for healthier practices. And we get so wrapped up in the billable hours and the time and the pressure, and one of the big problems lawyers have is they feel so isolated. They have no one to talk to. They don't want to talk to their colleagues because they may be competing with them to make partner. They might be embarrassed to talk with their law school classmates. They don't want to share it with their spouse so that he or she doesn't feel fear. They sure don't want to talk to their managing partner and get a black mark against them. So they suffer in silence, and they work harder and bill more and get miserable. And that's one role of a mentor, is to have someone they can talk to who's their cheerleader, their supporter, their advocate, giving wise advice and lifting them, encouraging them, and being an empathetic listener, so have someone to talk with. And I know I really encourage my clients have very healthy practices, and it's hard because we work so darn hard. It seems hard to find time to eat well and sleep well and exercise, but those kinds of things are really critical.
Gary, it's one of those things that during the pandemic, a lot of us faced challenges, and one of them was drinking too much and not working out. We couldn't go to the gym. One of my clients just talked about the benefit of walking outside, just getting some fresh air and sunlight. And another thing, too, with drinking is something that just sneaks up on people. And you don't have to be at the level that we see in the programs like these intervention shows to have enough of a problem that you'd be, instead of the word problem, everyone focusing on that, how about just operating at your full capacity and, you know, not drinking, just start not drinking during the week or maybe doing it 30 days. People just don't realize how sharp we are not when we think we are, until after we make some changes. So those are things that we are encouraged that more people are making those decisions for general health and not necessarily saying that I have a problem, because not everyone has a significant problem, but it's something that everyone should focus on at every level in their life. Agreed?
I couldn't agree more, Nick. And some folks are able to stop just on their own, and my compliments to them. I think that's great. For me, I wasn't able to do that, and I needed the support of a program to get sober. I've been sober for 32 years. After practicing for 12 years or so as an active alcoholic. And I'm very, very grateful. And everything you said about how much different you feel is so true. It's so true.
Good stuff, good stuff. All right, well, let's jump into the things that people will make jokes about, which is probably the reason they started drinking in the first place. All kidding aside, effective communication with clients and colleagues. One of the biggest complaints that people have with lawyers is not getting an email back or a phone call back. Let's talk a little about the importance of effective communication in our practices, some strategies for improving those communication skills, tips for maintaining strong relationships with clients through good communication, and Gary, some of your insights and experience on coaching professionals on being better communicators.
Well, I think one thing that you mentioned in your sort of introduction to the topic was so true. It's amazing the number of law clients who will reach out to me because they want a different lawyer because their lawyer won't return their calls. And what doesn't make sense about that is we're paid to give advice, and our clients want advice. It's a win-win. They get their questions answered. We make money. We get paid. But for some reason, lawyers don't return calls from clients, and that's so important. The other thing that's important is really being an empathetic listener. I struggle with this myself. My wife sometimes will come home, and she works in a very, very stressful job as a director of nursing. And she'll want to vent about her day and what went wrong and what stressed her. And I immediately want to give her advice about how to handle that differently. And that's not what she's looking for. She's looking to be listened to. And so I think with clients, we really need to be, better listeners to really understand their feelings, because sometimes one of their biggest concerns is they feel like they're not heard. And I think not only do we want to answer their calls, but we want to hear their feelings and listen to them. And we're such good communicators, and we think so quickly that sometimes to take a step back and really put ourselves in the other person's shoes and understand not only what they're saying, but their feelings are so important. And in practicing law with lawyers, we should be better listeners too. I had this case recently, where I represented a skating rink, and someone slipped and fell in the bathroom. And the lawyer called and said, "What's your position?" And I said, "I don't know. We have to investigate it." And I wasn't completely in control of how slow that took. It took a little slower than I liked, but in the interim, he called me 2 or 3 times. He said, "Have you determined your position yet? Have you determined your position yet?" "No, not yet." So then I called him back. I said, "Well, we found out what our position is." And as soon as I started to tell him, he went to interrupt me and argue with me. And I'd stop and wait for him to finish. I said, "So I thought you wanted to know my position." And my position was that there was a sign out saying wet floor. And she should have seen it. It was a big yellow sign in a small bathroom. And he didn't want to hear it. He just wanted to argue with me. And I finally had to end the call. I said, "Jack, you asked me my position. I'm trying to tell you, but you won't even let me verbalize it." Mm-hmm. And I found as a lawyer, it's so much more effective to listen. For two reasons. One, if I listen to you, you're more likely to listen to me. But more than that, every time my opposing counsel speaks, I learn something. I learn what their evidence is. I learn what their arguments are. I learn what their client's needs are. And all that is helpful. So I think the skill of even listening to opposing counsel is very, very important as well.
Well said. Absolutely. My mother always said the best people are the ones who keep quiet, take notes, be a better listener, say nothing. My dad always talked about networking, where he talked to someone and he said 2 words and they had most of the floor the whole time. And they said, "Oh, we had a wonderful conversation." So always good to be a good listener. All right, our next topic, let's go to imposter syndrome in small firm and solo practice. Man, this is a real issue. We can define imposter syndrome and its prevalence in the legal profession, strategies for overcoming imposter syndrome, how it affects people in small firms and solo practitioners primarily. And Gary, your approach is to help lawyers conquer that imposter syndrome and knowing that they're not alone out there. They do deserve everything and they are absolutely just fine, even though they're not part of a big firm and a big team. And that just gets tough for people sometimes.
It really does. And it seems to not matter a whole lot whether someone's in a big firm or a small firm, but it's incredible how talented, educated, hardworking, professional you are, and yet we question our own abilities. And that was true with me. When I was in my mid-50s, I was a managing partner of a firm. I was a highly accomplished and successful trial attorney. I had a great reputation in the community, but I felt like it wasn't real, like it wasn't true, that it wasn't me. And it's very difficult. And it comes from a lot of things, the competition that starts in law school, the desire to be as good as we can be, comparison, where we compare ourselves to others. So with my clients, what I work on is having them look at the facts rather than the feelings. They feel like they're not a good attorney, but what are the facts? Well, they just made me partner. I've gotten a raise. I've gotten a promotion. I won this case. I won that case. I brought more business into the firm. The facts show I'm successful, even though I feel like an imposter. And then I ask them to choose a thought that serves them. Does that help you to think that you're a failure, a fraud, or an imposter? Well, no, of course not. I said, well, why would you choose to use a thought that doesn't help you? Why not choose a different thought? See, we can't control what other people think of us. We can't control what they say about us. The one thing we can control is how we think about ourselves. So why not choose a thought? I'm a successful attorney. I work hard for my clients. I'm good at trying cases, whatever it might be. And then I have them to start to celebrate their successes. Sometimes we focus too much on the things that didn't work out well, but what things have you done well? Keep a little success journal. I won this case. I got this promotion. I brought in this new client. Write down everything that you did well. And then when they see it on black and white, they can begin to see I'm good. And the other is to have someone who supports you, like a mentor, because you don't want to go to friends and say, oh, I didn't think I'm any good, or colleagues, but a mentor can really help you put that all in a different perspective and see for yourself what you're capable of. And I found the coach that I use saw in me the opportunity to be a mentor to other attorneys, to have my own podcast, to write a book, all these things I never thought I could do. But he saw that vision for me, and I see in my clients a vision for their success that they don't see for themselves. And I can get that, because too often they're saying, I can't, I won't, I'm not that good. And I can have them see a vision of what they're capable of that they may not see in themselves.
It's something valuable in marketing to allow yourself to feel that you are good at what you do and that your services and the things that you're selling. You know, for me in marketing, you're selling law firm marketing. I talk about being the best and feel like I'm the best, and I can give you examples of why I'm the best. But when I didn't feel like that, how was anyone supposed to go with what I was offering if I didn't have the buy-in myself? So everyone needs to really work on those things. And this is a great point for us to talk about visiting Gary's website, and where you can get a free PDF copy of his book. It's called 6 Steps in Overcoming Imposter Syndrome. While you're listening to this podcast, go to the website. Gary, what's the website and how do they get the book?
GaryMiles.net. And it's a PDF handout, not a book. I have written a book called Breaking Free, which you can get through Amazon, which lays out imposter syndrome and other prisons of our mind as well, and tools to overcome them.
It's important stuff. And once you start reading this stuff, it's a game changer. And I've looked into this stuff. I listened to a woman talk about imposter syndrome in a different environment on a training webinar, and it really resonated with me. And it's just one of those things that helps make everything make sense. So after we are feeling good about ourselves and we want to jump into some competitive marketing and branding, that's my wheelhouse, let's talk about doing that for boutique firms and discuss the significance of branding and marketing. And not everything we do is something designed to immediately make the phone ring. We have a lot of innovative marketing strategies we can use to build that strong identity, and competitive marketing, keeping a consistent brand all throughout, and really thinking of yourself as an influencer and admitting that you are an influencer online, because that's why people would want to follow you. Gary, talk about a little of your experiences and what works in branding and marketing. I don't know, there's just so many things that we could spend our money on. It's hard to know where to steer.
Yeah, I think it's, we can either make our own brand or other people make it for us. You know, we have a brand whether we know it or not. Our brand is how people see us. And we all have certain talents or traits that make us unique. And it's our job to identify them and promote them. Because there are so many lawyers. And somehow, we have to stand out from the rest. We have to be seen as the go-to person in family law. Or in my case, the go-to person if you're needing support in creating freedom in your practice. So branding is really important. I believe one of the most important ways to grow your practice is by a really good website, SEO optimized. I'm no expert on that. I hire experts to do that. And blogging about what we do and how well we do it. It's not an instant fix. It's not like putting a billboard up. We're not going to start our website and the next day have the phone ringing off the hook. But over time, it's like a 401k. The more investments we put in our website, both financially and in content, we will rise up the rankings and we'll start getting those calls. Because the days of people growing a practice from referrals and neighbors, they're gone. Online is the way everybody goes online. Whether you're looking for a dentist, a pizza, or a lawyer, it's important to grow that presence. And there are experts like you in content who know how to help lawyers get found through their website and online.
It's a great opportunity to connect with people when you write about things that are outside of your wheelhouse of what you offer as well. I just wrote an article about that and published it this morning on my website, LoneStarContentMarketing.com. Article is called Creating Content People Value. And it inspired me by a patent lawyer in Dallas, Darren Klemchuk. Klemchuk LLP puts out on their Facebook page articles and blogs that they're writing about self-care, you know, things like being at work and getting up and walking around every now and then. Are you drinking enough water? You know, are you happy? Do you listen to music in the background? Having headphones on, playing classical music, just little things, you know, something outside of the traditional stuff an IP firm might be putting out. You know, teaching people what it is they do, but it's more than what they do, it's who they are. And the more that law firms and other businesses really think about their opportunity to take a space and talk about who they are as humans and what motivates them, and that really works. And I remember a guy at a firm in Chicago I worked with who had, he loved pug dogs, and he had a whole shelf of these pugs in his office, his website. He had his own website in addition to the firm's website with him and these pug dogs. And man, you will not believe how many people came in to get a divorce who were lovers of these dogs. I just had no idea. And there's a pug lover out there, and there's a pug lawyer lover out there, and they can all connect. So it's, you know, do what, be who you are, be legitimate, whatever you love, put that out there. Share that with people. You don't have to be a boxy, you know, whatever the boxy lawyer stereotype is. I mean, unless you're at some firms and they require that, but most times, and for the people that we're trying to help in most cases, you have an opportunity to be yourself. Go do it. All right, let's move on. We got two more left. Number four on our hit parade today is using technology to keep up with schedules and deadlines. Exploring the role of technology in law practice management has been something that's been a challenge over the days. In years, there's all sorts of tech tools for managing schedules and deadlines, a way to communicate. There's challenges, though, in maximizing our technology with ethical constraints and ideas. And, Gary, I'll tell you, when I was a third-year law student, we were trying in 2001, trying to figure out if it was ethically permissible to email clients. Then 10 years later, we were talking about the cloud. And nowadays, we're talking about artificial intelligence. And I can tell you the judges, clerks, at least a lot of them here in Texas where I live, and lawyers, everybody's using artificial intelligence, but it's not perfect. And you still have to have your eyes on things. But, you know, having a law clerk writing your work isn't perfect either. Put them against the AI and let them go and see who has the better accuracy. These are interesting things. And whenever things change with technology, It's a little scary to get involved and jump in, but look, Gary, we connected using Calendly invites. I now have that on my website. People can book an appointment. It's just so easy. So what are some general thoughts you have on technology as you've seen over the years?
Well, it certainly has changed. We talk about boundaries. When I became a lawyer, it was very easy to set a boundary. I closed the door and went home. And there was no such thing as remote working. We didn't really even have computers, much less emails, much less cell phones. Technology can be a benefit and a curse.
Unplug the fax machine at Friday. No emergency motions on Monday. Thank you very much. You'll have to find me over the weekend. Yeah, right.
Yep. Cell phones can be a blessing and a curse. It's wonderful to be able to get in touch with people anytime we want. But clients can get in touch with us anytime, and so can our managing partner. And so it is still important with technology to set boundaries. I use Calendly, as you know, all the time for scheduling things. It's great. I actually think lawyers would have an easier life if they scheduled the calls with clients, because so often things get, I'm working on something, a client calls, I take the call, I forget where I was, I get back to working, then another call comes in. It'd almost be better if we scheduled those calls and encouraged our clients to do that so we could work in a more organized way. We would know when our client was going to be chatting with us and we would plan our day around it. I also think law practice software is important. So we can be paperless and have access to our files immediately. There are a number of companies that do that, Clio, Leap, Abacus, and I think they are an essential in today's practice. Of course, some good accounting software is necessary as well. And there's various document management programs that can be used. And most of those law practice packages include something that allows us to schedule our priorities. What's most important? And when do we need to get it done so we really can remain effective? So those are some of the most important technology things that I think of.
You know, I also think about our learning processes. And for me, when I'm reading something, I need to be taking notes or typing out my own summary of what's happening. So while we are going to technology, because I know if everything is paperless and I don't have pen and paper at my desk, I am kind of useless. I can get along, but I know that even by rewriting things, underlying things, highlighting things, it's just my learning style. Now, other people have different learning styles, but don't be afraid to combine the old and the new. And if you want to handwrite all your stuff and you can hand that off to someone else to scan it, I mean, it's almost the technology is almost getting there where they can take handwritten notes and scan it in notes and can read it anyway. So whatever works for you, but don't be afraid of technology. And if you have concerns about a lot of these things too and how you're communicating and using different technology things, put it in your engagement agreement for your clients. Good for everyone.
Absolutely.
All right, our last segment. Yeah. Any other thoughts on that or follow-up?
No, I think you covered that very well.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Our final segment today is just a recap on what we started talking about with focusing on personal care. We want to operate at full capacity. Self-care, it's essential for lawyers and overall well-being. Of course, we're, you know, this is Texas Law Talk Radio, but this applies to really anyone in business and anyone walking the streets doing anything. So not only lawyers, but also strategies. We need strategies to maintain our personal health and wellness while managing our business and legal careers. We need to balance the professional demands with self-care practices. So, Gary, what can we do with – we already have a limited amount of time, but sell me on that workout in the morning, increasing efficiency so we can go home earlier. Does it really work?
I think we should work out whenever works best for our schedule. But for most people, it seems like lawyers have a day that starts a little bit later and ends a lot later. It's not unusual that lawyers start their day at 9. Some other fields start at 7. My wife is a director of nursing. Her day starts at 6. So it depends a little bit on our schedule. But I think we need to make a commitment to ourselves to get some exercise, whether it's the gym, going for a walk, playing golf, pickleball, whatever it is, eating well, hydrating. You mentioned hydrating earlier, drinking 90 to 110 ounces of water a day is important. And most important of all is getting a good night's sleep. It sounds simple, but it's good for our weight, it's good for our body, it's good for our brain, and it's so, so important. And sometimes we get so caught up in how hard we work, we lose sight of the fact of how important it is that we take care of ourselves.
So true. I'll tell you one of the things I do is, I know it may sound a little trivial, but I make sure that the cat food bowl is filled before I go to bed at night, so the cat doesn't wake me up at 3:30 or 4 a.m., and that's a real challenge sometimes.
Yes, that makes sense. We always make sure our dogs are fed, watered, and taken outside before we go to sleep as well. You know, I think often of pro athletes, when they have a big event coming up, and they have a Sunday game, they have a walkthrough on Saturday. They don't want to get too worn out. If you're running a marathon, your training regimen the days before the marathon is pretty light, so your legs are fresh. But as lawyers, we just work ourselves, you know, to the bone every day. And taking a break in our day and taking a break on a weekend from work is really important.
One of the things that we can also do as we move along in our career is find ways to scale our practice. And that is another topic for another program. But it's an interesting thing when you feel very comfortable as a solo and then you start doing well. You bring on maybe another person, maybe you have another partner, you bring on more work. To grow, how big, how small? I've seen people bounce around and partner up in firms that looked like a good idea and then it wasn't a good idea. That's a whole nother topic. So, Gary, maybe we'll have to come back and talk about that one another time.
Sounds good, Nick.
All right. In the meantime, tell folks again how they can best get in touch with you and how you can help them.
My website is garymiles.net. I have my own podcast called The Free Lawyer. There's some wonderfully helpful information there. What I love to do is help and support you by mentoring you, coaching you, giving you the listening ear that you deserve, giving you the guidance, the support, the encouragement, the accountability. And my clients have had simply incredible success with some coaching and mentoring.
Such good stuff. I want to thank all of our listeners today for enjoying my topic here on breaking boundaries and strategies for lawyer success with attorney Gary Miles. I also want to remind people that when you do find our podcast in your social media or newsletters or wherever you may, please do share those because you just never know who is looking for exactly this kind of information. Also, when you see a link and opportunity to subscribe to the Lone Star Content Marketing Newsletter, we do put that out once a month and include our Texas Law Talk Radio podcast links and summaries in that, as well as they are available on our website on our Texas Law Talk Radio page where there's an embedded player. Thank you again, Gary, and thank you all of our listeners. We've enjoyed this opportunity to bring more insightful content to you all and wish everyone a great day. Thanks again, Gary.
Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Don't miss the Dallas Symphony Orchestra performing Also Sprach Zarathustra at the Morton H. Meyerson Symphony Center, April 11 through 15. This epic concert, conducted by Australian conductor Simone Young, features music from 2001 A Space Odyssey and Britain's Concerto No. 1, featuring DSO's very own co-concert master Nathan Olson as guest soloist. Tickets available now at dallassymphony.org. That's dallassymphony.org.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.